This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. The conversation in higher education the past couple of months has been about diversity, about the lack of it, and the lack of awareness about the lack of it when you get right down to it. Among the bigger issues has been college faculties that are notably not diverse. Just 4% of full-time professors in this country are black, compared to about 15% of students. Our education correspondent Amy Scott has been looking into what drives that disparity and how some colleges are trying to change it. Today, she goes inside a campus at the University of Maryland to look at one piece of the puzzle, the hiring process. Here's Amy.
Tyson King Meadows loves a good sports metaphor. He's chair of the Africana Studies Department at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. And today, he's using Michael Jordan and the 1984 NBA draft to make a point.
What number was Michael Jordan drafted? What number?
I have no idea.
Just get, what do you think? What do you think?
He was picked third.
Do we know who number one and number two were? That's the point. He will go down as one of the greatest basketball players of all time. But at that point, people had expectations that a taller player would be a better basketball player. Not necessarily.
This is not King Meadows' usual audience of undergrads. He's talking to fellow professors at UMBC in psychology, medieval history, and computer science. They're part of a special committee working to make the recruiting and hiring process more open and fair.
My point is that sometimes you have to look at the whole person.
King Meadows, the guest speaker, is the only African-American in the room. The committee is all white. But he says that's not an accident.
Well, we understand here at UMBC that the burden of inclusiveness should not rest on minority faculty.
Too often, King Meadows says it does, and that sometimes invisible service, serving on committees and mentoring students of color, can come at the expense of research and ultimately delay a minority professor's promotion and tenure. Medievalist Susan McDonough says there's another important reason for white faculty to advocate for diversity and call out bias.
The burden has to be more on the majority culture to do it more than we do it. I've seen it in my classrooms that when students of color point out bias, there's often a willingness to dismiss it that would not have been there if it had been a majority person who had shared that thought.
UMBC is actually known as one of the most diverse public research universities in the country. About half of its nearly 14,000 students are non-white, 16% are black, and so is its longtime president, Freeman Hrabowski. He also chairs President Obama's Commission on Educational Excellence for African Americans.
Many people know us because we've had considerable success in educating students of all races in science and engineering. Our graduation and retention rates for African Americans and other students of color are as high as they are for any other group.
So it's all the more surprising that among the faculty, just 7% are black.
We're slightly ahead of the national average, but I would be the first to say that we're not where we want to be. And this is probably the highest strategic priority I have as provost.
Provost Philip Rouse says universities trying to increase diversity are drawing from a relatively small pool. Only about 6% of PhDs in 2013 were awarded to African Americans. But he says that's only part of the story.
Saying, well, you know, there's not enough people with PhDs isn't really a great excuse. Because even though the percentage may be small, there's still a lot of people out there.
Which brings us back to that committee of professors. One of them is Chris Murphy, chair of the psychology department. He says part of the group's job will be to train fellow professors to recognize the unconscious biases that can creep into the search process and unfairly weed out perfectly qualified candidates. Murphy has been through this kind of training himself. Let's say someone applying for a psychology job has published research on urban minority groups.
Other people might see that as kind of an advocacy rather than a scholarly approach. Or we have this phrase sometimes in psychology that research is me-search, so people kind of downgrade people who might be studying things that have a personal relevance to them.
Murphy says people are more likely to fall back on their first impressions and gut instincts when they're under time pressure to make a decision. In some searches, he says, a department will get 500 applications.
A lot of what happens is that people end up valuing people who look and look like themselves, think like themselves, and come from similar backgrounds, educationally and perhaps, you know, socially.
Murphy and his fellow committee members will also work with professors to rethink how they recruit. Just posting a job ad in the usual spots and waiting for CVs to roll in is no longer enough. Every open position, there were 29 tenured or tenure-track hires last year, must include a diversity plan, outlining specific steps for reaching underrepresented minorities. Even when there is no job opening, professors should be out there looking for young minority scholars on their way up, says Tyson King Meadows.
Talented minority faculty are not unicorns. They're there. It just depends on where you're looking. You have to look.
And you're more likely to find them, he says, if you're willing to look at yourself, too. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.